Hi. All right, get ready. It's coming. It's on the way. Are you ready?
Yes.
I'm 80 years old and don't look it. Say amen.
Amen.
Now I can preach. Turn to John chapter 3. My, so glad to see you tonight. John chapter 3. Thank you for the music. Touched my heart in a special way. John chapter 3. If you take notes tonight, I want you to take some notes down about our subject tonight. And we're just going to get right into the Word of God and let God speak to our hearts and touch us in the way that only He can do. We're looking at John chapter 3 in the wonderful, wonderful Word of God that is inspired. And Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will not pass away." Aren't we thankful for that? All right, we're John chapter 3. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Open your minds and hearts and take it in now and picture this. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said unto him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Many years ago, a Spaniard by the name of Ponce de Leon landed on the shores of eastern Florida. He was looking for a fountain that would erase the wrinkles from his furrowed brow and turn his hair from silver gray into the blackness of a raven's wing. He failed to find the fountain of youth that would give him his life in reverse gears and make it possible for him to go back in the matter of time. The place is called St. Augustine. It's only 40 miles south of Jacksonville. It was Loretta's and my date place for decades, and now you wouldn't even know it, the difference of what it is now and what it was back then. Loretta and I have been to the Fountain of Youth. Some of you have been there, to the Fountain of Youth in St. Augustine, and I'm going to tell you what, We went into the little place, you know, where they have the rocks and all, and the water running, and their little Dixie cups, and all of us tourists went by, you know, and they handed us all a little cup of the water from the Fountain of Youth, and Loretta and I drank our water and went out of the little building just as we went in. It didn't change anything. The Fountain of Youth. Now, the wonderful thing is, although there's no reverse gears in physical life, is that it is possible to spiritually, literally, be born again and made a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, and he said, "No man can do these miracles that you do except he be from God." And Jesus as much as said to him, "You're not going to understand miracles until you become a miracle yourself. You must be born again." Nicodemus was still confused, and he said, "How can you go into your mother's womb and be born again?" And Jesus made it very plain to him that he was not talking about one birth. He was talking about two distinct births. And he said, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." And then Jesus said, "You must be born of water and of the Spirit." And somebody started a new denomination and said that you've got to be baptized in order to be saved. And that's not what it's teaching at all. Let the Bible interpret the Bible. And in this reference, water would refer to the Word of God, because the Word of God always precedes being born again, because faith cometh by hearing, correct? And hearing by what? The Word of God. And so somebody started a new denomination, and we'll be talking about that more later. Now, you can ask some Christians, and I've done this, and many of you have, you can ask many of them if they are a Christian, and some of them have said to me, "Well, yeah, I'm a Christian, I'm an American." Well, that doesn't make you a Christian, being an American, any more than being born in a garage would make you an automobile. You know, when they say that, you know that they've never really been born again. And so what I want to do tonight, for these few minutes that we have together, I want to give you, according to how much time we have, several things that happen in this matter of being born again. Are you ready? Say amen. Remember that Jesus did say the physical birth is a definite thing, and the new birth is a definite thing. And so the very first thing that we want to give you tonight, and those of you that are taking notes will put this down, is that physical birth is a definite experience, and that spiritual birth is a definite experience too. Now, when a baby is born into this world, and oh, I love babies. And I like to brag on babies, but I'm honest about it. You know, most babies are pretty and they're cute and all that. And I say, "Oh, that's a pretty baby. That's such a cute baby." But I don't want to lie. Some of them are ugly as homemade sin. And so when I see an ugly baby, I just say, "Oh, that's a baby." Now, when a baby is born into this world, its exact time of birth is recorded. Its length is recorded. Its weight is recorded. All of that, a record is made of that. And I'm glad to tell you tonight that when we get born again, if you're glad you're saved, say amen. Amen. When we get born again, and only God knows that very split second that happens, but when we get born again, right then our names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. There is a record made of that birth. And so, thank God tonight we can know that we are saved. We can know that we've been born again. You know, I've said to some people, are you a Christian? And they'll say, "I've always been a Christian." You've had that happen. Now, when they say that, you know they're not a Christian. You know that they're not saved. It'd be like if I say to you, "Are you married?" And you said, "I've always been married." Nobody's always been married. It might seem to you like you've been married all your life. You might be so miserable you'd say, I've never had anything but this. But nobody's always been married and nobody's always been a Christian. You know, when they say that they've really never truly been born again. By the way, again, if you have a happy, listen, if you have a good marriage and a good home, thank God for it every day. I love the story. One of my favorites for decades has been about the couple out on the farm, and they had their 50th wedding anniversary, and she came out and he was out working in the field. You know, she came out and said, hey, said, John, did you know today is our 50th wedding anniversary? And he said, oh, really? And she said, yeah, let's kill the pig. And he said, why murder the pig for something that happened 50 years ago? Yeah. So, you know, I hope you don't feel like that tonight. I know that I don't. And so physical birth is a definite experience, and so is spiritual birth. Are you still listening? Say amen. Birth implies no past. Birth implies no past. When a baby is born into this world, it has no past. It's all future. And we are so thankful tonight that the same thing is true in the matter of spiritual birth. I want to remind you tonight of something that if anything should make you want to shout and get happy in Jesus, is this. When you got saved, the very split millimeter of a second that you got saved, when you got saved, when I got saved at 13 years of age, 67 years ago, I don't look old enough for that, say amen.
Amen.
Okay, 67 years, when I got, that Sunday morning, now listen, I'm going to talk fast so you listen fast. That Sunday morning when I got saved, I'd heard the gospel for the first time in my life. I didn't even know John 3:16 was in the Bible. We had no training, nothing spiritual about our home in our growing up. And so when I heard Robert E. Fleming preach that message of the gospel of Jesus Christ and talk about that Sunday that I heard it, I was struck in my heart. I didn't get saved that Sunday morning. On the way home, my mother said, would you like, and I said, well, Mother, I'm thinking about it. Hey, listen, let the Holy Spirit do the work. Let the Holy Spirit take care of the timing. And so I waited that week. I was miserable, but I'll tell you what. I was anxious about the next Sunday. And that next Sunday morning, we got to church. My mother and my older sister, Pat, and myself, when we got into that little building with about 100 people in it, it looked like 1,000 to us. When we got in there and I was sitting close to the back and Bob Fleming got up, and Bob Fleming is Brother Fleming, Gerald Fleming, the pastor in Dayton, Ohio, that I know you've heard of. He was his brother and a great preacher. And so my pastor, Bob Fleming, preached. And I'll tell you what, I couldn't wait. I couldn't tell you anything about what he preached. But I knew that Sunday morning that I wanted to get saved. Now, here's what I believe. Because I understood that I was a sinner, he made it plain. And because I understood that Christ died on the cross for sinners, he made it plain. And because I understood that all I had to do was ask Jesus to save me to get saved, that it was an action of the heart, I believe that. And here's what I believe. I believe when I made that first step, I really do. I believe when I made that first step into that aisle, if I would have dropped dead, I'd been in the presence of God. Because salvation is an action of the heart. We have a prayer, kind of a model prayer, that we say with people when they get, and that's good. There's nothing wrong with that as long as they understand what it means. But there's not a particular prayer you have to pray. It's the matter of the heart, understanding that you're a sinner, Christ died on the cross for sinners, and all you need to do to get saved is ask him to save you. For whosoever shall call, the Bible says, upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Isn't that wonderful that if I'd have dropped dead, I'd have been in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ? And so birth, and then birth means no birth. Birth means no past. Birth means no past. I mean, just think about it. No matter what you did, where you've been, what the horrid things you've done. Look at the Apostle Paul himself. The Apostle Paul murdered Christians and thought he was doing God a favor. I mean, it's bad enough for somebody to murder you, but to think you're doing God a favor. That was Paul. And yet on the Damascus Road, when he got born again, when he got saved, God changed it and forgave him of all of that past. Listen, when Paul said, listen now, are you listening? When Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind me, I press forward, what do you think he was talking about? He was talking about his past, the sordid, sorry things that he did. The sorry, with all of his religiosity which he had, he was sorry about all them Christians he murdered and thought he was doing God a favor. And he said, I'm forgetting those things. Listen, I'm going to tell you what. Now listen close. When you get saved, God forgives you of every sin you've ever committed in your life. And if you carry around the weight of guilt, you're wasting your time and you're insulting God. When you carry around guilt, hey, Satan loves to pull us down. He'll pull down that silver screen, and he'll put in living color some dirty, rotten thing you did before you got saved to try to pull you down and discourage you. And I'm telling you, it's an insult to God for you to carry guilt about that, because God has forgiven you of that. The Bible says when we get saved, our sins are removed as far away as the east is from the west, to be remembered against us no more. The Bible says they're buried in the depths of the deepest sea to never be remembered against us anymore. I'm telling you what, God doesn't just erase our sin, He annihilates our sin. And I want to remind you something else. If nothing else makes you happy, this ought to really make you happy, that our sins are forgiven, past, present, and future.
Amen.
Hey, listen, God looks upon us. Are you listening? God looks upon us as if we never sinned.
Amen.
If that were not true, we would not go to heaven. The judgment seat of Christ, where only Christians will stand, is not a judgment of sin. It is a judgment of works. If it was a judgment of sin, we'd all go to hell. It is a judgment of works. That's why it pays to live for Jesus. Somebody says, and the people that believe you'd be saved and lost, saved and lost, they say, well, you just believe you're saved by grace and you can live any old way you want to.
Mm-hmm.
I don't argue with that. You can live any old way you want to. I believe if you've really been saved, you want to live for Jesus.
Amen.
I believe if you've really been saved, you've been changed. The Bible says we can become new creatures in Christ. I believe you'll want to do what's right. I don't believe you could ever run fast enough and far enough to get away from the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart about the manner of your life. I mean that. So they say, well, what about sin in the life of the Christian? God disciplines us. Not in the sweet by and by, but in the nasty now and now. That's why it pays to live for Jesus. Listen, there are consequences to sin. You don't hear much preaching about sin anymore and about immorality and ungodliness anymore. But it pays to live right because there are consequences to sin. We see that every day in so many people's lives. But oh, it makes me happy to know that God loves me enough that He won't let me get by without loving Him and putting Him first. Hey, and you know something else? The Bible even says that there is a sin unto death for a Christian. The Bible says very plainly that for a Christian that turns against living for God, that backslides and stays that way, that it will reach a point where God will no longer deal with that, and He will take you out. That's what the Bible teaches, that He will take us out. He will take the Christian out and get him out of the way for that Christian's good and for his honor and glory. Hey, it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. Yes, He is a God of love and mercy, or we wouldn't be saved. But He's a God of judgment and justice too. And so it pays to live right, to do right. It just pays to do it right. And so birth means no past. Spiritual birth means no past. We are forgiven. We used to sing in youth camp, and I'm glad that this is a youth camp church. That's where you get them. That's where you can really reach them. And I remember back as just a boy in youth camp, we'd sing the chorus, "Going, going, going, going. Yes, my sins are gone. Now my heart is free, and in my heart's a song, buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. I shall live eternally. Praise God. My sins are G-O-N-E. Gone. Gone. Boy, what, that ought to make a backslidden Methodist shout, "Gone! All my sins are gone." And so birth means don't get nervous. Birth means no past. Okay, are you ready again? Third, birth means no repeat. Birth means no repeat. I'm just absolutely sure that when I was born, my mother looked at me and said, "Can you run him through again? Can we do it again?" But it ain't going to happen. Never can happen. Birth means no repeat. Physical birth, no repeat. Spiritual birth, no repeat. I mean, what does that do to this crowd that says you can be saved and lost and saved and lost? Yeah. Birth means no repeat. It can't be done again. It's a one-time thing. Amen. Can't be done again. You can't be saved and lost. My wife's sister that lives in Fort Worth, Texas, she's a sweet person and we love her. And we're very close as a family. But she's in another denomination that teaches that, yes, you're saved by grace through faith. Yes, you are, plus baptism. You've got to have the baptism. In other words, grace and water in order to be saved. And millions follow that doctrine. And the thing about it is, I mean, they're nice people, but they're wrong. And we need to point out wrong. You're not saved by water, you're saved by the blood, you see. Water baptism is simply a public testimony of the fact we're saved, that we're not ashamed of Jesus. That's what, when the pastor baptized last night and said, "Buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection," that was saying to us that are here, "Hey, I'm a born-again child of God, and I believe in the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ." It's a public testimony, but the water doesn't save. There was a preacher getting ready to baptize an almost 400-pound lady, and she was standing up there, and he looked up at her, and he said, "Come on down here, and let me wash away all your sins." And she said, "Not in that little pool of water, you ain't going to do it." Well, the truth of the matter is, you're not saved by water, you're saved by the blood, you see. And so it means no repeat. Now listen, follow me close now. This is important if you're talking to somebody that believes in this thing about you have to be baptized to be saved. First of all, they don't like to hear you talk about the thief on the cross that looked at Jesus and said, "Remember me." And Jesus said, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." They don't like to talk about that. I mean, he didn't have a chance to get baptized. He went straight from the cross to heaven. And think about this now. Are you thinking, say amen?
Amen.
Okay, now, here's the thing about it. If salvation's by faith and grace plus water, you have to have water for the repentance of sin too, then every time they backslide and get lost and get saved again, they'd have to get baptized again. I mean, if it took that the first time, it's going to take it the next time. And the next, man, I'd have to stay in the water 24 hours a day. I mean, the Bible's so plain. And so birth means no repeat. It can't be done again and again and again. Now, it's important that we look back and remember that day. Listen, there is absolutely no reason why we should not be able to look back and remember. You might not have wrote the date down, but I'll tell you what, if you've really been saved, if you still have your mind, you remember where and when it happened. You will remember if it was in church or in the hospital or on an airplane or out on the street somewhere. You will remember, if you really got saved, you remember when it happened. You will. I remember when the day, but you remember if it was Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night or you will remember, so that's important. I never have preached to try to talk people out of being sure of their salvation. That's not right, and that's not what I do. And that's why pastors... Now, my problem is I start chasing these rabbits. But that's why pastors are very, very careful about who they put in their pulpit. Because I found out early on as a pastor of a great growing church, I found out the hard way, be careful, because some evangelists that come in and they think, if I'm going to get invited back, we got to get something done here. We got to get some people saved. And they resort to these messages. Hey, you raised your hand. Hey, you raised your hand. They do that to me one time. They're not back. Because he's not the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit doesn't do it, it ain't getting done right. That's why you have 40 saved and baptized three that were already saved before you had whatever. I'm serious about that. We need to be careful. We preachers need to be careful. We need to be honest about things, and I believe in invitations like we give, and I believe in encouraging people to come, but it's not our job to pinpoint people and say, hey, you raised your hand. You need to get down here. You need to get in it. I'm going to tell you what. The Word of God will do the work of God. Amen. The reason why we have so many unsaved church members is because of this looseness that we have now about the way this thing is handled. Let the Holy Spirit do it. He's the one that does the saving. We don't do the saving. I've had some preachers say to me, well, if I don't do that, I'm just afraid it'll be the last time they'll ever hear the Word of God. I'm going to tell you what. That's in God's hands. Amen. That's in his hand. Good preaching, Brother Strunk. Thanks for telling it like it is. Birth means no repeat. Aren't you thankful for that? And then last but not least, I don't know why I do this. I really don't. I didn't used to do it. And Loretta will be in a meeting with me and say, honey, why do you do that? And I say, I don't know. If I knew, I'd tell you. I don't know why I do it. I just whatever. I just decide, well, I'm going to slow down a little and let you think a little bit. Sometimes I forgot what I was going to say. Sometimes I just do this. She don't know and you won't know. It's none of your business either. Fourth! Is that what I said? Fourth. I hear drums and... I thought, man, I've preached heaven down. Thought I was losing it. Got all this quietness and thought, boom, 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 boom. Fourth and last but not least, birth means pain. Birth means pain. When a woman delivers a baby, she will come as close to death as she probably will in her life, except extreme situations. Birth means pain. When my oldest daughter, Starla, who was put out of the major intensive care unit today into whatever the progressive intensive care is, so she did get that upgrade today, and we're thankful for that. But when Starla was born in Fort Worth, Texas, when she was born, we got to the hospital, and Loretta was in labor for 18 hours. Now, you don't know how much I suffered during those 18 hours. You can't imagine how much I suffered during those 18 hours. 18 hours she was in labor, and then Starla was born. Remember, they held her up, and I looked at her through the nursery. She looked like a little rabbit. It was pink, you know, her skin. I thought, wow. But she was pretty, like her mama. And Starla was born, 18. And when I went in to see Loretta, boy, she was like, and I went up and took her hand, and I leaned over, and I said, hey. And she said, this is it. I'm never doing it again. She didn't say anything about how pretty that baby was. She didn't say anything. All she said was, I ain't doing this again. I said, okay. Thank God time heals. Amen. Or none. We never had brothers or sisters, that's for sure. She said, that's it. I'm never doing this again. Never doing it again. She went through some real serious pain. When Shelley was born, my second daughter, We were in Orlando, Florida. I was on staff at the Orlando Baptist Temple, the same church I got saved in, right after I got out of college. And so we were there. And so Loretta, why is it always early morning hours? Why can't it be 10 or 11 o'clock in the evening or 6? Or why is it 2, 3, 4? So about 2 o'clock in the morning, Loretta says to me, "Honey, I think it's time." Now I said, "Okay." And I laid there. She does some things, you know, come back. "Hey, honey," I said, "it's time." I didn't think we needed to be in a hurry. I really didn't. Now the first time, boy, was, man, but I thought, well, I've got time. Man, I got ready and I wasn't in a hurry. She said, "Honey, let's get going." And so we got in that Buick that I had and we took off toward, still that early morning hours, and never forget that drive. It was about 10 miles to the hospital. She was going to deliver the baby. And so we was on the way to the hospital and we crossed some railroad tracks. Boom, boom. And she said, And I said, "What?" She said, "Sonny." I said, "What?" She said, "You got to get going." Boy, I mean, I put that Buick in passing gear. And I went miles an hour, and boy, I got to that hospital, and I drove in there and slammed the brakes on and ran around and got her out, and they put her in a chair, and I'm telling you, they rolled her in, and I can still see her going through those steel doors, those shiny steel doors, and they took her in there, and then the nurse said, "Now you can go right down there. There's a couple other men down there, and wait down there." And so I went down there, and my pastor Lloyd Meyer said, "Now when the time comes, call me," and I thought he meant it. He said, "Whenever the baby's coming, call me." Went straight to the telephone. I still see it hanging on the wall, and called my pastor and said, "Hey, the Loretta's here and the baby's on the way." And he said, "Oh." "Did he come?" "No." Man, how stupid can you be? I woke my pastor up. And here's what happened. I'm on that telephone. Now listen, are you listening? Say amen. I'm on that telephone. I just hang the telephone up. I don't even go in and sit down. And a nurse comes walking down the walkway and comes up to me and says, "Are you Reverend Strunk?" And I said, "Yes." And she said, "You have a baby girl." And I said, "Not me. It's somebody in there." She said, "You just said you're Reverend Strunk." I said, "I did." She said, "It's you." And I almost fainted. I mean, I almost fell over right there in the hall. I mean, Shelly, boy, she just that quick. I mean, preacher, that's something, isn't it? And here I thought, boy, I'd take my time. You better be careful about this. Listen to your wives, men. You listen to your wives. Birth means pain. And listen now, we're going to be real serious now. Real serious. Calvary has become the delivery room for the soul. Read Isaiah chapter 53 and weep when you see what Jesus went through and the price he paid so that we can have what we have tonight in him. Let's stand with our heads bowed. Now listen very closely, please.